Welcome back to the Sites On Podcast. This is episode 18. Will AI replace us? Is it really bad? What will it do to our lives in the future? Today, we're going to be talking about that. So let's get into it. What are your first impressions on AI, Alex?
First impressions, I think it's a really cool and like, it's a great idea in a sense of like how it's going to help like us through with our regular everyday tasks. I think it gets scary when you think about like how much it's going to possibly replace the jobs, how much it's going to take over in certain aspects, and it doesn't have much regulation at the moment with any government, or mainly I guess I'm talking about the US government. So I think there's just a lot of speculation and concern, but I'm actually very impressed, and I think it's very cool to see how much AI has advanced in the last 10 years, because 10 years ago, nobody was talking about AI. Now, every day, you're hearing something new about AI and robots and different, cars that drive themselves, robots that are working in warehouses. You got whole buildings making Taco Bell for you, and McDonald's is, all operated by robots. I mean, it's incredible in a sense, and it's scary at the same time.
Yeah, I have the more cautious perspective. I mean, it's too fast. I mean, you see all this development. Like, how are we even keeping up with this? Like, regular human beings, we have this drive towards this AI. How are we going to manage all these new developments in such a short amount of time? It's like a open bottle that's spilling all over the table and you can't even get it cleaned up. You're gonna have to have that napkin to clean it all up, and it's all gonna be in a mess. So how are we gonna change this? How are we going to take care of this this outreach of AI?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, I get that's a good like metaphor, I guess you could call it, of like, not a metaphor, but you get what I'm saying, of like how it's all like coming out. I mean, it's just one like new find after another. I mean, they're just doing some significant progress on AI. I mean, Apple just came out with a new iPhone with its integrated AI. I mean, they've had Siri, but I mean, this is like a Siri like on steroids. This Siri's a lot better than the previous Siri. I mean, we have Alexa. I mean, we've been integrating AI into our own households with stuff like that. I think the scary part about AI is the privacy of like how they listen to you a lot more. I mean, the government is already listening to us, but I mean, even more now to an extent. I mean, anything with a microphone now you could say is like listening to us, but we've definitely been integrating AI for quite a while into our daily lives, like with our phones, with Siri, with Alexa, all those things. So
yeah, it's everywhere. It's even like, even if you go to sleep, your phone is still on. It's still tracking where you are. That's the type of AI, and you can never escape it today. It's a shocking development. In the past 10 years, it's always there now. And what we've seen is that it can benefit you in some ways. Like, I will say that AI has benefited me. I mean, we have this thing in the medical field called scanning. And you have this, any medical condition that you can have, and you put it into the scanner, and it tells you your diagnosis. That was never seen. I mean, imagine in the 1800s, when you have a disease or a condition, the doctor can't diagnose it. You have to go through so many tests. You have to go through so many things that you can't even figure out. Now you can just quick seconds and find it in AI. So I think there's very much a positive aspect to a lot of things in AI, but you can't get past the things that it could harm you with.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the benefits for me when I do it is like with school, and I'm not cheating, but it's a good start for like when I'm looking for quick information or when I'm looking to get ideas for a paper. I can ask it to give me some, or I can ask it for like advice on certain things when I'm writing. And I find that to be very useful because it's given me like, I've gotten lots of good grades and from like using the AI to help me come up with like different statements. Yeah. And different things. And it just overall, I mean, it definitely makes the writing portion of things easier. I definitely wouldn't recommend anybody to like use it fully, like write you a story or anything, because you're going to get caught for cheating and stuff like that. So don't, do that to yourself and get yourself like expelled from college or a fail on a test. It's not worth it. But like just for using it as help with your schooling, it actually is. I'd find it very useful. I mean, just a couple years ago, if you wanted help, you had to go to a friend. Now you got somebody right there next, in the computer giving you advice, telling you everything you need to know. So
yeah, I mean, I use AI sometimes, and in the medical field, it's more useful for like the mechanism of diseases. I used it for a disease called atherosclerosis, and that disease is very common in the US because we have such a bad diet, and we'll get to diet soon in the next couple of episodes. But the basic thing in atherosclerosis I found from AI is that you have all this fat inside your blood vessels because you eat a big fatty diet in here in the United States. And what that does is just it seeps under your blood vessels to get into your tiny cracks. And like, over time, it just builds. And that suddenly clogs your arteries. So AI is definitely helpful in that sense. It can give you the mechanisms, give you all the things that you need to know in that quick time second. And I think that's very useful. And this is everywhere. Like, you can't even say that it's just in the school academics. You can use it for anything. Like, you can use it for business formulas, anything in the world. And I think that's very valuable today for AI. And I mean, it's empowering the human being. I mean, we can do so much more. And I think that's useful in a sense, but I still have some cautionary tales for the later.
I mean, I definitely get what you're saying. I mean, when they say AI assistant, I think it needs to stay an assistant. It does not need to be its own person living its own life. You know what I'm saying? Like, where we're getting to the points with like these robots and stuff. Like, I don't want to see robots roaming the streets or anything like that. I've seen that like in dystopian movies, but I mean, that's what AI is. I mean, it's its own person running around on the street, you know, like, but it's stuck in the computer. But when you give it like a physical form, like a body of some sort, like if we make a robot, I think that's where it gets kind of scary, in my opinion.
Now, what do you think about that? Like, what have you seen today?
I have not seen like, well, actually, I've seen where like they're sending AIs to like football games and stuff. Like, they look just like us, but you can kind of see some wires hanging out of their brains and stuff like that, and they just sit there and they watch the football game and they talk. And I think it's more of like a test or just for publicity, but I still find it scary. They look pretty real. They kind of blink slowly and they look a little like goofy. Like, you could tell at the moment they're AI, but like if you actually look this up, like Chargers AI at the football game, it's some scary stuff in a way. Like, they do look close enough to humans, but and give it more time, they're going to look exactly like us. They'll just blend right in. So, I mean, they're not even making robots look like robots anymore. They look just like us.
Exactly. I mean, they're training them, like, they're giving them, like, the learning capability.
And the human characteristics.
Human characteristics, and they can manipulate facial features. And I'm looking at you right now. I can tell, like, you're serious right now. The AI will match that and match your seriousness. And I think that's very it's shocking, because you don't even know what's real. Like, you could, in the future, I foresee that you could be talking to another person that's an AI generated bot and you don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say it definitely needs to just stay an assistant. I don't want to see it go any further. And plus, like what I've said with like jobs and stuff like that, I think it hurts us at the moment. I don't think we have a specifically good plan on how we're going to fix that, like the job loss, because there's going to be lots of jobs lost. I mean, millions and millions of jobs. So
millions of jobs. I mean, we can go into that discussion, and we have the very menial jobs and the labor here in the US that's going to be replaced. Like, you're not going to have that anymore in the sector, because AI is just too advanced. Like, it can do anything, any menial labor job, and you can just program it. I mean, my mom's an accountant. That job will be gone in the next couple of years, because you just need the AI software to do those numbers, and then you have the accountant, like a senior accountant, to sign off on that job, and then you have that down in the books. You don't need a person to do that. That's less money for the person, the employer, to employ, and more productivity. So why not do it? I mean, those types of jobs we'll see on the decline, but there's a super big problem with the amount of jobs that we need to fill, because where are we going to get those jobs?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I did a couple of research of like main jobs that are beyond. Like, when you think about like fast food, possibly, I was thinking like just out of nowhere, like construction. I know that's like a harder one to think about, but like if the robots and stuff do get better, then they're probably just going to put robots out there building stuff. I mean, I was thinking about it realistically, a good place for AI construction would actually be in space, because they don't need to breathe. If you want to build stuff in space and have things building, I was like, man, that'd actually be really smart to have these like robots building spaceships or something in space. I was really going on a tangent in the shower today when I was thinking about that. But I mean, computer programmers, research analysts, paralegals, factory and warehouse workers, financial traders, travel advisors, and content writers or graphic designers. I mean, those are all jobs that are, I mean, in replacement, like AI is taking over. And like I said earlier, I think pilots are soon going to be like the backup. I mean, you're still going to need pilots, but I mean, I think as autopilot gets better and AI and planes and stuff, if they integrate it more, we'll definitely fly the plane most of the time and the pilots will kind of be there as backup.
Yeah.
Same then, with like taxis though and stuff. I mean, taxis, Uber, Lyft, even Grubhub. I mean, I've seen little robots on the road that take your food to you and stuff like that. I mean, that's all AI when you think about it. I mean, you don't need a Grubhub person if some little robot's going to come roll it up to your house and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
And then you go, you wonder like, how are we going to supply all these jobs? Like, how are, like, are people going to have to get more education? Are they going to have to get more skilled in a labor that won't be replaced by AI? Are they going to have to develop new fields? Are they have to do something new that's never been done before and AI can never replace that? Because AI, it can replace many things. Like in the future, it can do things that we've never seen before. I mean, in the surgical field, we have these robots that can do surgeries almost autonomously because all the surgeon needs to do is that he's in the opposite side of the room. He's not even next to the patient, and he's just doing this right here on the robot arms.
Hmm.
And the robot arms are just moving around the patient, getting all the organs out inside the patient. So we could get to the point where robots can do surgeries themselves. I mean, that's not far from here.
And I, yeah, like you're saying, like, even though I just listed those jobs, I feel like most jobs aren't safe. Like, even though I listed those, certain jobs they say are safer than others, I think every job in a point, like at a certain extent, is at risk.
It could be replaced by AI some way, and you won't be able to do some of the simple things in those jobs. You'll have to find a way to get something that's more complex that requires thinking on a higher level ever seen before that AI can't really do.
Yeah, one of my examples of like this would be like, so jobs that people think aren't going to be realistic, like, let's think of like a therapist, right? So you have a therapist, and therapists are really good because it's human-to-human interaction. But if you want cheaper, like you don't want to pay for a therapist, you may go to an AI assistant, and the AI assistant may try to help you. I don't think it's going to be as good, obviously, but people would use that, right? Because they don't have to spend as much money with an actual therapist, so they're going to try that first. And it probably, in my opinion, wouldn't work, but I know people would try that over going to an actual therapist because it'd be way cheaper.
Yeah, and they're doing that. I mean, I read an article. It was about 52 million people in the U.S. using AI companions as a method of communication to people, like just as a person that you, a virtual person that you talk to. And I found that very shocking. I was like, wow. Like, people don't connect with real people anymore. People go to the online sources and do it with a non-real person to communicate. I found that very shocking.
Oh, I mean, I think you're going to find it as we go on in these new generations, Gen Alpha, Gen Beta, these things, they're going to talk to AIs more than they talk to humans. And then you're going to realize, like, when you try to talk to some of these kids or eventual adults, they're going to speak like robots, I think. And you're going to be like, what did you say? And they're going to say, like, not fluently at all. So that's what I think. I mean, it's a weird dystopia to think about, but I think it's possible.
So I mean, when you don't talk to another normal human, you're not going to get the social skills.
Yeah, since COVID, I mean, we know that we already don't talk to each other as much as we should and stuff. Like, human interaction is on the down low. And so I definitely think people are going to talk to AI because people would rather. I think people are becoming more
insecure.
Insecure, but what's the term? Like, you would say that you were. What's someone who talks to a lot of people called? An extrovert?
Extrovert.
So I think more people are becoming more introverted over time, staying on their phones. You know, you notice like maybe when you go to class, do a lot of people always talk when they come to class or they just sit on their phone when they get in the class?
Sit
on their phone. Yeah, they'd rather sit on their phone than actually have a conversation maybe with somebody random. So I think we'll definitely see that more in the future. People talk with AI over real people.
Yeah. And I just want to go on a tangent. How do we battle that? Like, how do we reverse the introversion? Because I really think that communicating with human beings, communicating with other people in this world is valuable. I mean, you get so much out of it. I've talked to many people throughout my life, and I think that whenever I talk to someone new, just to meet them, I think it's very valuable to see their perspective. So how do we battle that trend towards introversion?
You gotta make, I mean, I don't really have a good answer for this. Because I think any answer you say, it's going to be, like, controversial in the sense of, like, you can tell people, just get off your phones and actually, like, sit there and talk. But, I mean, in a sense, that would work, right? Like, I try, like, when I go to each of my classes for the last 3 years, I've tried to, like, talk to at least one person. So that way, like, I can have a buddy in the class that can help me with, or just, like, someone to talk to, you know? I don't want to sit in the class with nobody to talk to. So it's worked for almost all of my classes. I've met a guy named Ahmad, I met a guy named Colin, and then I met a dude named Darius for each one of classes. And they're all, like, great guys. I've known them, but, like, I've actually had some good interaction when I go to these classes, and it just took me not being on my phone and actually just having some confidence. I don't know. We got to build confidence in this country, too, to actually talk to people. So,
yeah, we need to build that confidence to be yourself, be someone who can say, like, shake another person's hand and say, hey, my name's Luciano.
Yeah, and then you just talk. I mean, I'm not going to say everybody you meet is going to be like someone you're like, oh, I'm going to want to talk to them again. But, like, you know, just keep trying. Like, I would just, you got to keep talking to people. I mean, I think, like, otherwise you're just going to turn out lonely and depressed, so.
I mean, I can see that in this world. Like, everyone's just a bot on their phone. I can see that in the future. Like,
everyone has any actual personality.
Yeah, no one has a personality. No one interacts with anybody because they just are just stuck on their phones. I can see that, actually. And I see that in my classes. I see that everywhere. Happening slowly, but you can see it.
I'm going to try to keep my kids, like, I know we're on such a tangent, but, like, away from, like, tech and, like, iPads, phones, YouTube. Like, I want them to actually go play outside. They can have a little bit of technology, but not as much as, like, what I think kids are getting today. I want them to be outside. Go hit a stick against a tree, like some have said. Like, you got to figure out how to be bored and live in this world as bored sometimes. The world's not always fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's an important lesson to learn. So, I know that's such a tangent, but...
there's parents that give phones at 6 years old and even younger than that. And I'm like, why are you giving your kid a phone at that young age? They should be learning how to read, write. They should be learning how to interact with the world.
Because they'll cry without it. The saddest thing is when I'm working at Whataburger and I see, like, a mom and her, like, son go in, and then they'll get their food, and then they'll sit and scroll on TikTok or YouTube, and they won't talk the whole time. They'll just sit there, they'll eat the food, and then they get up and they leave. And it's like, what was that? Like, that is just ugly to watch. Like, you guys actually got to have some interaction. You both can't just get your food, eat it, and then not talk. And I see that all the time, especially even, like, with younger, this, you know, little kid will come in with a huge iPad, and then the mom will sit over there on her side, eat her food, the son will eat his food, and they'll just watch stuff. And it's like, what kind of family
exactly. is that? Yeah. I mean, it's bonding time.
Like, sit with your kid, have a good time. So,
I can't even imagine that. I would, personally, I would never give my child a phone until high school.
I would say, like, late middle school. Like, I got my first phone at, like, eighth grade, like, a real good phone. So, probably for me, like, eighth grade. Like, and if it is going to be phone, it's going to be a flip phone. I'm going to be one of those kids. Like, yeah, because I think it's important to have, like, some sort of contact with me, because I feel like the world's getting dangerous. So, I'll give him maybe a flip phone early on. Sure. So, I know we're off such a tangent. Let's get back on it.
Yeah, so let's go into some specific applications of AI. So we have content creation. Like, how is AI applied to content creation today? And what new things can we see from that today?
So with, like, our own content, what I've been doing with it is, like, our recent thumbnail that we did on relationships and dating, I actually asked, like, because I didn't want to get copyrighted or anything. Like, certain photos you can take right off, like, Google, and you don't have to worry too much. Like, it's just a regular picture of something, and you'll just take it. But when it comes to, like, certain things, I'm a little more cautious. So the last thumbnail, I was like, I'm just going to take it from ChatGPT. I asked it to make relationships and dating from the 1950s, because that's what seems like to be the glory days of, like, dating. So I, you know, or stereotypical. And so I just took it, and I put it on there, and it just made it for me in, like, 30 seconds. And I mean, that's part of the content creation, right? Because that makes views. I mean, AI's getting better with, like, the editing, and that's why they're saying, like, they don't need, like, editors as much anymore, because, I mean, it just does it all for you. It's computerized. So what do you think, though?
So I just, how would you verify if it's a human or a non-human? Like, that to me is so mind-boggling. Like, it can make content, art, that is more real, more efficient, more
not just
beautiful
art.
Than
it can make music, it can make its own videos,
more beautiful than actual humans. And I think that's how are you going to, how are humans going to compete, first of all, and how are you even going to tell if it's real or not? Like, I saw that and I thought it was something pulled off of line, someone created it, but then you told me it's from ChatGPT. I was like, I was baffled. That was a very good image. I was like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And I was like, am I ever going to be able to create that in the future?
I'm like, worried about, like, when I look at, like, my grandma's or my mom's Facebook, and she's like, oh, look at this cow. And I'm like, Mom, that's not a real cow. It's an AI-generated cow. Like, it's got these big eyes and everything, and it looks all cute. And you're like, no, that's not real, Mom. And she's like, oh. Like, because I fear for the older generation, they're going to look at stuff like that, and they're going to think that's real. I used to prank my grandma with these AI dog catfish things. Like, it was a fish with a dog head on it, and I'd be like, Grandma, look at this new discovery of, like, this animal. She'd be like, she could actually tell. She'd be like, no, that's AI, isn't it? And I'd be like, oh yeah, you got me. Just like playing games with her and stuff like that. But
yeah. But I like, you look at the Mona Lisa, you know the Mona Lisa, right?
Yeah,
that's a beautiful painting, but AI can create that now. They can do anything. Like, you ask it to do a Mona Lisa, it will create the Mona Lisa by itself. I mean, how can it do that?
I mean, it can literally do any type of media. I mean, write music, make videos. It'll do it all. That's the thing with AI. It can do everything we do now. And 10 years ago, it could not do everything we could do.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm playing music, right? And I try to compose too, and it takes me about 1 month to even create a good melody, to create good harmonies and everything. And
AI can make you a melody.
Does that in 2 minutes. I mean, how am I going to create good ideas when AI is generating all of these things? I mean, it's good for production in a sense, but for me, I want to create things without being influenced by a media that takes away some of my ideas. So I have to do things that I never have been seen before. And that's very hard from my perspective. I mean, you may not know Mozart, Beethoven, but they were like the very prime of their age. Today, you never see a composer that is a Mozart or Beethoven. I think that's because of AI, because of things that made it impossible for people today to make good and lasting ideas that are,
I think,
very good at composition.
Disagree. I think that just the music industry has changed from like Mozart and Beethoven. But yeah, I'll give you partial. Like, I don't know any today. I don't know any orchestra, what composers that are to the name of Mozart, Beethoven. I feel like you can ask anybody if they've heard of the name Mozart, Beethoven, and they could probably tell you yes. But they couldn't tell you anybody today that's a composer. I couldn't tell you. So
even in pop singers, like, how do you know if it was their content or AI-generated content? I don't think you can know. I really don't think you can know if Taylor Swift did a thing that was her own thing or something that was AI-generated. So I don't think you can tell, honestly, today. So
yeah, I mean, it's interesting how AI has taken over a lot. We sound like boomers probably, but I mean, it's true.
But what is your opinion on AI and military? Like, how is it being weaponized against society today?
How's it being weaponized? Like, so I assume, like, AI, like, in surveillance, like, how, like, we were talking about, like, a couple episodes ago, in that, like, China has, like, AI software in the cameras and, like, it tracks everybody. I assume, like, the military is doing the same thing. I didn't get a lot of research for this point, but I'm going to do some assumptions. Or, like, with AI in, like, I mean, it's already been in, like, missiles and stuff. I assume, like, there's an AI, like, in the computer system when they lock on another jet, right? You're doing a jet chase, right? And that locks on the other jet that it's tracking that shoots a missile. That's AI, right? Tracking and going up to that other planet, blowing it up. I mean, I'm not too scared of it. I mean, I think it's good in a sense of, like, it'll help that American military advance and get better. Because if AI is going to advance at this fast, then everything else in the American, like, military would somewhat advance if it's all integrated with AI.
I think it's one step to human destruction, AI.
Wow, we have two different opinions, but
I do think it's one step to human destruction, because you have the nuclear bomb, like, in 1940s and onward. That's the nuclear race. That was like almost one step to human destruction.
You
now
think, like,
we have AI that's almost to the brink. They can do anything. Like, it can find where you are, and it's an AI generated weapon. It can do anything that a human can do, but 1,000, 1,000,000 times better. Bro, like, this is a very powerful thing, and I think if multiple countries have it, it's going to be another nuclear arms race, but in the AI version.
You think, like, eventually we'll have, like, robots fighting robots? Like,
yes. Yes. I genuinely do think that. I mean, it's not far from here. Like, we saw the robots that are developing. They're developing robots today that can do those things.
I mean, I think of, like, Elon Musk's Optimus robot. If they just made, like, millions of them, and they were like, all right, they're going to... It's like... I don't know, Optimus D-Day kind of thing, where, like, you got robots on both sides with machine guns on the trenches. But, like, again, those are just shower thoughts I have, but, yeah.
I think it's possible in the future.
I think it's possible, yeah, because why would you put human lives out when you could just do robots?
That is the one thing I am scared of in the future, because then what's the point of living if you have robots that can just kill you on the spot?
Yeah.
I mean, you've watched those movies, right? Like, the robots living among humans.
Well, yeah, like, iRobot, right, yeah. With Will Smith and the Terminator. I mean, I think the Terminator's, like, the worst-case scenario. mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely scary, I mean.
And I think Russia is the main player here. They are developing AI weapons as, like, fast as the U.S. and even China. Like, those two are the main things that are driving the AI arms race today. And that is really scary. To me, that's very scary today.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I mean, we and you just have two different views. I'm always like, well, it could really help the U.S. And you're like, it's the end of the world.
It can be. I mean, I'll be real with you. It can be the end of the world. Yeah. I mean, I see how it could help. I mean, you could get more efficient uses of military. But in the end, everything's going to escalate to something at a high point. I mean, the nuclear bomb escalated to that Hiroshima attack. This one could escalate to a mass extermination of people.
Yeah, it's possible.
What is your opinion on Elon Musk and his generation of AI and SpaceX?
I mean, today? His is doing a lot. I found the company. He really likes that word X. I think that is his favorite word. I wrote it down here. Let me find it real quick. Man, I don't know. I lost it, I guess. Somewhere. But he has this company called XAI. Oh, yeah, right here. His company's, like, building artificial intelligence and, like, with, like... I mean, they have that Optimus AI, and then he's doing the brain chips, right? Which is also all AI in your head. I kind of forgot about that when I was researching it. That, like, there are studies and, like, test subjects right now going in, and they're doing surgical procedures to put in that AI software chip. So you basically have the internet in your head, and, like, you're a super genius. Oh, you know everything, which is just, like, crazy to think that, like, that's how far we've come. I didn't think when I was a kid that they were going to be putting chips in our head, and we were becoming, like, super geniuses, and we could, like, basically be chess masters.
At that point, we're just computers. I mean, you can just take a computer and put it in your head. That's it.
I'll probably be that old head that won't do the AI chips. I know, like, probably because I bet you not in 20 years, like, that's going to be a procedure that you can do that, and they're going to make it somewhat cheap or expensive. I don't know. But people will still pay for it, and they're going to get these chips, and people are going to be going like this, tapping. I mean, they already do that. You can get a chip in your hand that has your credit or debit card, and you can just tap to pay with your hand. I mean, just becoming this dystopian universe, I guess, with AI. You wouldn't think that AI would be the start of this, but it is. And funny enough, when you ask AI, like, what does it show you in the future? It just shows you robots when you get to the future. I've seen, like, videos where it's, like, start human civilization from the beginning to end, and then it always ends with, like, robot takeover. So.
Yeah, I talked to some people that are very, very passionate about AI. They said that it can open up your horizons, it can do anything that you want it to do, and it can make you into the one best human being possible. If you want to be a robot and be a best human being possible, I can see that. You're a robot, but you're not the best human. You're just a robot. Yeah. And I enjoy being a human. I don't know about you. I like being imperfect in a sense, because I get to enjoy my imperfections. I get to improve myself every day and see that growth over time. But AI inside your body, I can see that it's a development, but I just can't grasp why you would want to do that, in the sense of you're human. Yeah. You are created to be imperfect. And I enjoy that, actually, in my sense.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, with the other things, like, he's made the Optimus robot, so you can basically have your own butler. I mean, he already said it's going to cost, like, $30,000 if you want one of these robots, which I'm like, nah, I'm not paying that. Like, that's, I could buy a car for $30,000. And there's a lot of other things I could buy for $30,000 for having my own personal robot assistant. Like, no thanks. I'll just do it myself. I'll stop being lazy.
And that's also the thing. It's breeding laziness in our human population. I mean, we're not creating any good new ideas. AI is doing it for us. I mean, you will get to a point where AI is going to do all the work for us, and
we're going to sit on the couch and watch TV.
We're going to be useless. The majority of the population is going to be useless. We're just going to be couch potatoes. We're going to be like living off of a line of constant consuming of media, constant consuming of entertainment, and we're not going to be doing anything productive. We're not going to have a meaningful life. I mean, what's the point of human life if you don't have work? If you don't have something to live up to? And that's what I see in the future. Like, people with AI, people cannot coexist with AI up to a certain point. We can use AI for some things, but in the end, we cannot coexist with AI. Either AI is going to take over us, or we are going to control AI. And that's what we'll talk about in a couple minutes, about the government regulations.
I think as new generations come out and they are more integrated with AI as they're younger, they're going to be more for everything being AI. And us, the older generation, when they try to integrate us being into with the AI, we're going to be like, no, we don't want that. But the younger generation that grows up that's been with AI for so long is going to be like, no, y'all have to integrate. And we're going to be like, no, we don't want to. Like, we don't want to have these chips. We don't want to have to do this. Like, why do we have to do it this way now? Why do we have to get these procedures? Why do I have to scan my hand? Why can't I put my credit card up to the, you know? And that's gonna be like a big thing. There could be some legislation that eventually everything is needed for it. I know we're kind of fear mongering, but it's possible. Anything is possible when it comes to this stuff, you know.
I just think there has to be a brake pedal on the gas. I mean,
some regulation. Yeah. I mean, there's none right now. I told you earlier, there's like some privacy things that they go into, like, you know, with the regulation, but it's not, there's nothing that's, it's all indirect. There's no actual, like, a ton of, like, regulation on this AI software at all at the moment. It's pretty loose. It's all loose. There's not, and I think it's because of how fast AI has developed that we haven't given time for lawmakers to really pass anything at the moment, so.
Yeah, I read an article about the data and private security. They only spend about 1% of their whole entire money on improving security, improving safety concerns on AI. They spend 99% of it trying to improve their technology, make it proliferative, make it the best and most adaptive thing that can change the fastest, the most glorious AI that you can ever think of. But they forget, oh, what are the repercussions? What can happen to the people that use this? And that safety concern is very important. I think you should invest at least 50% of your money into safety concerns, because this thing right here is the most powerful thing in our whole lives. I mean, you can look at anything in the past. You can look at the wheel. You can look at the Industrial Revolution. You can look at all these good advancements in our society. AI is the most powerful thing ever. And if you don't put regulations on this, if you don't slow down its growth, you're going to get a messy spill all over your table, messy spill all over the world, and you can't even find your roots again. You can't get back to where you were on square one. And I think we need to talk about the government regulations of AI, because frankly, I want to be here in 40 years. I don't know about you. I don't want to be taken over by robots or even living in fear. Like, we talked about this before. In China, they use AI for facial recognition technology, and you can't live a day without fearing for your life, without fearing, hey, this is my, I can't go into the streets because they will profile me. They will know where I am at all times. That is what AI can do in the future, and I don't want that for our country.
I mean, like we saw, like you can look it up, they have like these cameras and you see people in like these other rooms and they're watching and everybody's face has a square on it because it's tracking their facial identification, and it just watches them as they walk on looking at their phone, and you know, just basically the whole Chinese government knows where everybody is at all times. And I mean, in a sense, I guess you could say that about what we have now with our phones with the GPS tracking and everything, but you can turn that off if you really want to at the moment. So
it will get to a point where AI can track your every move and it can know everything that you value, you have hold it in your heart. It'll track all your data storage. It'll track everywhere you go. I mean, this is the thing that can see everything you do. And that to me is a scary society. I never want that to happen. If I was a lawmaker today, I would be saying, stop this growth. Let us make plans before we grow even further. It's fine what growth you have now. Let's keep this, but we need to make regulations before you can go further.
Yeah, so you want updates before the regulation. You want to regulate the update before it comes out of each one. Yeah.
Because it's so powerful. I mean, you
have to regulate it in such a short amount of time. You know, it can change, you know, the world overnight kind of thing. Kind of like how it's done now. I mean, it drastically, when just ChatGPT came out for the regular public, I mean, everybody started using it just like that. Overnight, everything changed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, going on to our next topic, it has something to do with our personal applications. I mean, you're going into broadcasting. What do you see yourself using AI for, and how can it help you?
For me, mainly, it's like what I've been saying, it's research. Like, if I can want quick, easy research that is funneled, or give me a quick summary of something that I don't understand, let's say there's a new topic out there on the news that I got to research. If I ask AI, it knows everything on the internet. So if I ask it to tell me about something and then summarize it, I can get a good idea of what is going on without digging through, like, you know, website after website after website if I can't figure it out. The AI can tell me like that, summarize it, give it to me in a way that I can understand. That is the main thing. I would say it's just the research side of it, and possibly like editing. If I'm on the editing side, maybe I'm on the directing side of my broadcasting and I need quick, fast editing, but I'm not at a place where I can actually edit. Maybe the AI can actually do it for me and help me get on the road, so that way I can publish it and submit it to the news company.
For sure. Yeah, I see that. I mean, we're using DaVinci right now. That's a very tedious process. I mean, I won't get into the details, but editing is very good for AI. I mean, I've been fear-mongering this whole time. I've been saying that AI is bad in a sense, because it can be bad, but it can relieve off the pressure of all this fast society of data concerns, of editing, of making it a faster society. It takes the time load off of us. Yeah,
it gets the tedious parts done, because it has, like, you know, no tiredness. That's the nice part about that. It never gets tired, so it can do all those tedious tasks that you would be, like, tired at the end of, but it's ready to go off to the next and the next task. You know,
and that's what I was saying, like, I don't mind AI in that sense. I just want it to be less in the frontier of replacing the human capabilities of human connection and humanness.
That's why I keep it saying, like, we should keep it as an assistant, not as a physical, or more than anything than an assistant. It just needs to be there to help us, not to actually become more than us.
So going back to that question, I mean, will we be replaced by AI? How can we make jobs that are good for just humans and not AI?
Man, that's a tough question. I really don't have an answer, because I think, like I told you earlier, every job at some area of it can be taken over by AI. I mean, it's true. I mean, if you, any research or even teaching, I mean, that one's a little difficult more to think of, but if they wanted to make AI teachers that taught the curriculum, they could. I mean, I think you just have to put regulations on what AI can do and what it cannot can do, you know? Like, if you don't want it to be in certain job sectors, then government legislations will be like, you can't have AI warehouse workers anymore. This is a human-only job, you know? Like, we're going to have to say that, like, certain things AI tasks can't have. And it's because we don't have any regulation. But over time, you know, or even fast food, they're like, hey, you cannot have AI buildings that make your Taco Bell anymore. Like, not allowed, because we're losing too many jobs. Mm-hmm. So I think certain states are going to have to make regulations that say what jobs AI can have and what jobs AI can't have.
True. I mean, I I would like to see more research on that. I mean, that's a good perspective.
I mean, I was just spitballing, but I think that's probably what you're going to have to do, because otherwise you are going to lose millions of jobs.
You will. And I mean, I was talking to another friend of mine. He said that humans are going to have to adapt. I mean, you in the medical field, you have all these little jobs. Like we talk about pathologists. A pathologist takes a diseased form of tissue and says, oh, that's the disease. Now you have all these softwares that can do it for you. Those pathologists will now have to go into a very specialized form of field. And sometimes you can't even regulate those little things because AI can do so many things. Like you have all these careers in the US and now they're going to be pruned like a pear tree down to a few, 3 to 4 branches that humans can do, but everything else AI is going to be hanging off that tree like a squirrel that's going to be like taking off all the pears of the pear tree. All those pears are going to be taken by the squirrel. Nothing's going to be left for the actual humans. So when we think about that, I honestly do not know what could happen to humans. Like we will be replaced at some point. I don't know what we can do in the face of AI.
You have to regulate it before it gets too strong. I mean, there's going to be a point of no return, I think, eventually, if AI just becomes so integrated in the world that people won't want to go back, so.
And then you ask the question, how does regulation even work? Like, how would you even...
You got to make these tech companies that are making this stuff, you know, you got to start getting this stuff in Congress to the president's desk to get it now. I mean, you got to tell these tech companies, hey, it can't go this far, you know, you got to make it so that way it doesn't become too powerful and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a hard question to ask because it's developing fast, but we have not gotten the same government response of, or human response of us as well. Like, you're talking about humans haven't developed as fast as this AI. AI develops so much faster. I mean, there's going to be a point where I think AI is even doing the construction. It's doing the building. Can you imagine like robot cranes, AI cranes, just putting the skyscrapers together?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to need construction workers? That's a liability. Someone could get hurt when you could just have robots doing it. So.
Exactly. I mean, it's a scary future for me. I mean, I'm excited for the development, but I'm scared for this future of humans.
Like I've said, I'll keep saying it. It's got to stay an assistant. It can't become more than anything than an assistant.
And I don't know how that will play out, because people will find a way to make those bots. I mean, Elon Musk, the most powerful human being,
is doing it right now.
United States, and he's doing it. So
he's doing a lot. I mean, the chips, the AI, the robo taxis. I mean, we're not gonna have human taxis anymore. It'll all be robots, probably in 20, maybe even 10 years.
Yeah, and I would like to. If I met Elon Musk, I would ask him this question: like, are you doing good for society? Are you generally doing good? I mean, is this going to make
humans... Would it help us or hurt us faster?
Yeah, would it help us or hurt us faster in the future? Are you making technology that will benefit us or replace us in the future? We are humans. We're not perfect in any sense, but we should have a place in society because we were created here. I mean, I will take a Christian perspective. I mean, we're created by God. I mean, we have to have some role in this earth. If AI replaces us, then what's the meaning? So yeah. I don't know what God will do in the sense of AI, but I'll just leave it up to him. But I'm worried about our future.
Me too. I mean, in a sense, I totally get where you're coming. I mean, the fear-mongering isn't to an extent, like, it's justified. It's justified. I'm not saying, like, we're not fear-mongering just because we're, like, I don't know, it's just scared. I mean, some of this stuff is justified. I mean, it could possibly happen, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's a good note to wrap up for this episode, and this was a good discussion on AI. I think the main point for me to take out is AI could be a good thing if we regulate it, but if we don't, if we just leave it off the side and government doesn't do anything about it, president doesn't do anything about it, it will get out of hand in the next 10 even 5 years. We've seen this happen in the last 10 years. I didn't even know in high school that ChatGPT existed until senior year. And I am 2 years out of high school. It's blown up. I mean, everyone's using it. Everyone has a specific use for it. It's blown up. Imagine in 10 years how much it can blow up. We need regulation. That's my final point.
That is exactly correct. Regulation. I mean, the state's got to make it to where jobs can't take the people's jobs. I mean, it's. I think AI is probably going to be a state-by-state basis kind of deal. I mean, as with privacy, bias, and all those things. So we'll just see how it all turns out. We just pray to God that it favors humans over AI and that we have a future ahead of us. I mean, I know we will, but a good future ahead of us with humans over AI.
Yeah. I definitely want to discuss how this plays in the future. I mean, 2 years from now, what will AI look like?
Yeah, we'll see.
And we'll see. So stay tuned and check out our episodes, other episodes that are coming up. We have a food episode coming up if you want to say anything about that.
Again, I'm working on that. It's going to take some progress. I mean, we delayed that because we got a ton of research to do on that. We weren't going to come out here unprepared as we were talking about our nuts and bolts. We're always trying to come out here prepared. So we just decided to put that on the back burner, but it definitely be coming out this Christmas break. So
yeah. And then we have a nuts and bolts episode coming out for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to those who are watching this now. And then Christmas is coming up in about almost 30 days. So I love this time of the year. It's very homely. I get to spend time with my parents, and that's spent like the one best thing. I've always spent time with my parents at home. And then we have the special 10 days countdown. And then we'll be joining y'all for that 10 days countdown, and we want to celebrate Christmas because it's very important to both of us.
Yeah. Again, make sure to check us out on all of our social medias as they're blowing up, and you can find all of our content for quick to 30-second to maybe a minute-long videos, you know, if you just want a quick, short content for you, maybe while you're, you know, on your commute or you're just bored at, you know, school or something, you got some free time, just you can scroll and look at our content if you'd like and just have a good time. I mean, we're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all social media platforms, and we're on, you know, all podcastings, Apple, Spotify, Amazon. You can find us anywhere, even YouTube, so make sure to check us out all there.
Yeah. Well, this is the Sights On podcast with Luciano and Alex. This is Sights On, signing off.